Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we're having a continuing class on Chaitanya Bhagavat. And this is chapter 9 from Madhya Kanda. And the introduction, it describes here that what happened is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the house of Srivas Thakur and he wanted to actually reveal his Bhagavatva, his godhood to all the devotees. So he went there one day, and usually he would come every night and they would chant the holy name and dance in ecstasy. On this particular night, he was in the mood, not in the mood of bhakta, bhaktabhav, or devotee, but he was in the mood of Bhagavan. So he went onto the altar, and then he went onto the singhasan, and he sat there, because Srivas Thakur, in their house, they had deities of Vishnu and Narayan. You can imagine if some sannyasi came into the temple, here in the temple, and crawled up on the altar, and sat down on the altar. Next, in front of Radha Partha Sarathi. Everybody, the Chokidar would throw him out. So he actually did that, and he stayed there for 21 hours. And that ecstasy is described here as Shataprahariya Mahaprakash. So for 21 hours, continuously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed different forms to the devotees. And at this particular juncture in the in this chapter, we're on verse number 88, where the Lord is reciprocating with his devotees by proving to them that he's actually God, because he starts to tell about different devotees, about their previous lives, about their activities. And one can only do that if he's all-pervading, or all-cognizant, omniscient, all-knowing. And this is the quality of Bhagavan, Sarvagya. Bhagavan is Sarvagya, all-knowing. Bhaktarer padartha prabhu kayena santosh kaya sabara janma karma kahai shesh. Mahaprabhu happily ate the foodstuffs offered by his devotees and then began to describe their birth and activities. Because while Lord Chaitanya was sitting on the throne, Singhasan, they did puja to him, they did abhishek and puja, and they worshipped him just like you would offer, worship a deity. And Sodash Upachara, 16 different items. Upachara means items to offer and worship. Upachara. There's Panch Upachara or Das or 16 items you can offer to the Lord. Idam Pushpam, Idam Tambalam, like this. Esha Ganda, Esha Dupo, Esha Dipo. Ganda, Deep, Dup, Agarbati, or like this. So all these just already been described. So now text 89. Takakshane se bhaktera haya ye smaran santoshaya chara kaya karaye karandan. As a result, each devotee remembered his previous activities and joyfully fell to the ground crying. The Lord said to Srivas, Are pore tora mone Bhagavata Shunile de Devananda Stane. O Srivas, said Mahaprabhu, do you remember when you once heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit? And of course, Lord Chaitanya wasn't there, but he was there. Because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, he's in everyone's heart, Paramatma. Pade pade Bhagavata Prema Rasamai. Shuniya dravila ati tamara hridaye. Every line of the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of loving devotional mellows, and your heart melted on hearing that narration. So this verse is being spoken directly by Lord Chaitanya, and he himself is saying that the Bhagavatam, pade pade, that means line, each line, usually it's charpada in the Bhagavatam, or Bhagavad Gita is charpada. Says, Pare Pare Bhagavat, prema rasamai. So Mahaprabhu himself is saying, this is a verse which is giving Bhagavat Mahima, the glorification of the Bhagavat Puran. It is prema rasamaya. So when someone says that the Bhagavatam is a rasa shastra, it is a rasa shastra full of ras, it's a fact. The praman is Krishna himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling. This is rasa shastra. And what kind of ras? Prema ras. And ultimately it's braja prema, because this is the most purified and greatest expression of love. It's the love of the gopis and the brijvasis. So he sings, prema rasamoy, shunya dravila tomaridoy. So you, dravila means melting. I don't know about Hindi. It means melting. Is that when you heard this narration, shunya dravila ati tomara ridoy, your heart started melting. Now this is the Bhagavatam, and when we hear the Bhagavatam, what happens to us? Come in. When we hear the Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna. So Mahaprabhu is reminding Shivas. Shivas, remember you heard one day the Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit? Prema Rasamoy. It says, Pade, Pade, Prema Rasamoy. Every line of the Bhagavatam is Rasamoy. It's saturated, Moya. Saturated with prema ras. It says, Pade, Lord Chaitanya is saying here in text 91, Pade, Pade, Bhagavat, prema rasamoy. Every line by line by line. And he doesn't specialize by saying dasama skanda. He doesn't say, Pade, Pade, dasama skanda, prema rasamoy. Because some people like to say, oh, only read the 10th canto. Like the Sahajiya section. Only read the 10th canto. Oh, first canto, no interest. Oh, second canto, oh, creation and hellish planets, 5th canto, no interest. 11th canto. If you have no interest, then you have no interest in Krishna. Because each canto is part of Krishna, and Krishna himself is Prema Rasamoya Sarup. He's a Prema Rasamoya Sarup. He is Rasaraj. Every inch of Krishna is made of Prema Ras. So, Lord Chaitanya is giving a praman here. It's a mahima and a praman. As every word of the Lord is actually praman. Pade, pade, Bhagavata, prema rasamoy. That every line of the Bhagavatam, first canto, 11th canto, etc. So we're reading 9th chapter, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya is Mahaprakash. It's called Mahaprakash Leela. For 21 hours, he's showing his Bhagavata, his Godhood. Now he's actually describing the glories of his devotees. He said, listen, Srivas, you heard that Bhagavatam, that Rasamoy Shastra, and Ridaya Dravila, your heart started melting. Do you remember that, Srivas? Now it's easy for someone to tell you about something that you did if they were also there with you at the time, like your husband or wife. Oh, remember, we did this together. Oh, yes, I remember. But Lord Chaitanya wasn't there. Srivas was there. Devananda Pandit was there. Devananda Pandit, Shishya were there. But not Lord Chaitanya. But he remembered everything. And then he says, Uchaishwara koritumi lagila kandite bivala hayatuma pandila bumite. Srivas, you began to cry loudly and you fell to the ground, overwhelmed with ecstasy. So this is every day we're hearing the Bhagavatam. Now I think we're hearing third canto Bhagavatam. So every line is full of prema ras. It's about wives and husbands and ashram or whatever. I don't know this third canto section. And when we hear Shunile Bhagavat, are we Ridaya Dravila? Is our heart melting? No, our eyes are closing. And then, are we crying loudly and falling to the ground? We're snoring loudly and also falling to the ground. Dropping our heads. There's a classic movie of Srila Prabhupada giving Bhagavatam class. One of these acharya, not acharya, but some Bhagavatam class. There's one devotee standing behind him. His name happens to be Vishnu Rata. Something like Vishnu Rata or Vishnu Rata. my Guru Bhai, and he's standing there on Prabhupada's right shoulder, but like here's the big Vyasa San, he's standing there, like maybe he's guarding Prabhupada or whatever, I can't say what he was doing, but he's there, he's like this, and Prabhupada's like in front of him, and Prabhupada's head is like here. So he's listening to a lecture, and so when the camera's on Prabhupada, in the old days, those old movies, it was only Prabhupada, now it's like Krishna and the speaker and all kinds of, it was just 45 minutes of Prabhupada's face giving lecture. This was the Bhagavatam movie of Prabhupada. So for 45 minutes, this devotee's standing there listening to class. And so he's going so far over like this, almost falling on Prabhupada. And everyone's, only when you're watching this lecture of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, all you think is, who is that guy? Who is this devotee? So it's a little bit, he's not exactly relishing the prem rasa of the Bhagavatam. But this is what happened with Srivas. He fell to the ground overwhelmed with ecstasy. Abodha paduya bhakti joga nabujiya bhagiya kandaya kene nabujila iya. Not understanding your devotional sentiments, the foolish students, Devananda Shishya, they could not understand why you were crying. Bhaya nahi janatumi premara bikare paduya tumare nila bahira duyare. You lost external consciousness while exhibiting transformations of ecstatic love, and the students carried you outside. Devananda itena karila nivaran guru jata agyase mata shishagan. Devananda did not stop his disciples. As the guru was ignorant, so were his disciples. So the students of Devananda, this is a tika by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they didn't understand the exalted position of Srivas Thakur. So they made offenses at the feet of Srivas because they were controlled by their material perception. This is because Krishna and his devotees are transcendental. It's told in Chaitanya Charitamrita at the time of initiation, the devotees, the body, the deha, dikshakale, says dikshakale deha aprakrita deha, aprakrit, aprakrita, that the body of the devotee actually becomes transcendental at the time of diksha. That doesn't mean you don't sleep or eat or pass stool. All these activities go on, but it's actually, it's aprakrita deha in the making. So if one offends a devotee or the Lord, it is a great offense. And there's a very interesting point to understand. And this is described in Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami. He's explaining something about archana and puja. When a pujari is in the temple doing puja to Thakurji, he's offering arti, dup and deep, full, pushpa, whatever. And by chance, while he's offering arti, a devotee enters the temple. Some devotee. It's where obviously it's Tila, Kunti Mala, some initiated devotee. Sanatana Goswami is saying that if there is no one there in the temple, the pujari should ask the Lord, he should ask the deity, "Oh my Lord, please, please just forgive me for 1 second. I want to greet this Vaishnava. And then I'll come back and finish the artik." So this is actually the proper etiquette. Of course, we may have a different etiquette in our own institution. But this is what's being told in Hari Bhakti Vilas. That he'll leave the altar, he'll come off the altar, he'll greet that Vaishnava. Give him some water, or have him sit down, and then, or give him some mahaprasadam. Say, please you just wait. Or a few minutes, I finish the artik, I'll go back and finish the artik, the puja to Thakurji, then I will attend to you. So now the question is, what's going on here? This pujari is making an offense. He stopped the puja. So the kanishta, the prakrita, the prakrita bhakta, or the Vaishnava praya, one who is almost a devotee or almost a Vaishnava, he'll think, Krishna is everything. The Archamurti is everything. The Thakurji, he's everything. And the devotees, they're something, but not so much. But no, Sanatana Goswami is explaining here a very important point of tattva, that the Lord, is the Murti in the Lord is transcendental, and the devotee is also transcendental. And this principle is being given by Sanatana, so we understand that once... Now, if an ordinary person comes in the temple, and if someone stops the puja and takes care of them, then that's an offense. That's an aparad to the deities. But a devotee is not an ordinary person, an ordinary gentleman or lady. When they've taken diksha and guru samarpan and surrendered to the guru, then they become transcendental personalities. And they represent a tattva, the Vaishnav tattva. The devotee represents Vaishnav tattva, which means an aspect of the Lord. That bhakti, what is bhakti? We say, I'm a bhakta. Or at least we're bhaktas until we get initiated. We're bhaktin or bhaktas. And then we're initiated, then we're supposed to be das. At all times we're das. Das, das, and das. So bhakta is someone who's exhibiting bhakti to some extent, although it may be germinal or minuscule, very small. So bhakti is a combination of knowledge and joy. Technically it's called samvit and ladini. Ladini means the love, bliss, happiness. Radharani is the epitome of that, shakti. Then samvit, which means knowledge, understanding, awareness, tattva. So that prince, that devotee, when he comes in the temple, he's representing something of Krishna. He's carrying that bhakti. He's a bhakta. So that bhakti is Krishna's energy. So showing respect to him and regard for him to such an extent to even stop the arti in midway. Midway and stop the arti and go receive the devotee. This is the injunction. This is mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. To show the transcendental position of a devotee. How special. Not that we may not do it, and we, of course, we have to follow the particular guidelines of our own temple. It's not that tomorrow someone runs off the altar. We have to follow our own institution. But this is what we should learn here. You have to be careful when you read Shastra, because you need a guru to understand Shastra. So two things are here. Literally, it's true that if you're somewhere doing puja, maybe in your home, and you're the only one there, or in a small temple, and someone comes, if you stop the artik and go and greet the devotee, that's the proper behavior, the proper etiquette. Sadachar, Vaishnava Sadachar. And that is very pleasing to the Lord. Why? Because Krishna says to Arjuna in the Adi Puran, he who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but he who is a devotee of my devotee. So in 11th canto, Krishna is telling Uddhava, in Uddhava Gita, he says that you are greater. You are... Brahma is not as dear to me as you. Shiva is not as dear to me as you. Lakshmi Devi is not as dear to me as you. Uddhava, you are more dear to me than my own life. This is Krishna telling Uddhava. Now what to speak of what he says to his Swamini, to his Priyaji. She is his very Prananath, Srimati Radharani. But this 11th canto, of course, is the crown of Krishna. It's a Krishna Mukut. The Mukut, more Mukut, is 11th and 12th canto of the Sarup of Krishna in the Bhagavatam. So he's emphasizing a point here that you, Uddhava Mahashaya, he's Haridas. He's one of the great Haridasas. Yudhisthira, Giriraj, and Uddhava. So, what is Krishna saying? He's saying that devotees of the caliber or the level of Uddhava, they're more dear to me than my own self. So therefore, this is further praman from Bhagavatam why Sanatana Goswami is saying Hari Bhakti Vilas, that we should honor the devotee to the extent of stopping the artik. So this becomes Krishna Anukulya. Anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam. Krishna, right? They say this verse about pure devotion. Krishna anukulya. Anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti utam. So Krishna, like even you see in the Bible, Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of my creation, that you do unto me. And he says like this. So they have this idea that the devotee is so great. The devotee is so special. So here, the disciples of Devananda Pandit 500 years ago in Koladweep, when their guru Devananda was giving Bhagavatam class, and Srivas was attending the class. He's a member of the Panchatattva. Who is Srivas Thakur? Narada Muni. Narada Muni Bhajanavina Radhika, right? Radhika Ramana Nami. So they very much like this bhajan in Punjabi Bhag. Radhika Raman. That's the name of the deity? Radhika Raman. So maybe Narada Muni goes there sometimes. So the disciples, they said, "Oh, who is this? He's crying Uchaishwari." We've said is Uchaishwari Kari Tumi Lagila Kandite. Uchaishwari, we say our job is Uchaishwari. It's loud, we should chant loudly so we can hear it. So he was Kandite, he was crying loudly, oh. He was sobbing and crying because he heard some verse from the Bhagavatam. And that Pade Pade, this is Premarasamoy. He said the Bhagavat, Pade Pade, Bhagavat Premarasamoy. Every verse is full of Prema. And that Premaras rushed into him and that ignited the ocean of love in his, or the, you can say, fire of love in his heart. And so what follows fire is rain. It becomes hot. When it's very hot, what comes next? Rain. So the fire of emotions is so great in his heart, the prema is swelling in his heart, the next thing is the tears are gushing out, oh Krishna. And we don't know what he heard from the Bhagavatam. It wasn't even described that it was anything particularly special. Maybe it is described, I can't remember, but it wasn't 10th canto. But the disciples said, "Oh, you're crying, oh, take him out." They picked him up and threw him out of the assembly. Because they are judging by the cover. Oh, you're making noise, you're crying. And then the guru did not stop them. So then he's responsible, he's culpable. Just like the minors, the parents are responsible for the crimes of their children. Minors, the adults are called minor. Minor means underage, so they're under 18, 16. The mother and father are responsible. They do some misdeed, then the parents have to pay the price or whatever. So, the guru is responsible for his disciples. He didn't respond. Because they say it takes one to know one. Right? If you're a Punjabi, then you know the way Punjabis think, right? If you're a Punjabi, you know the way they deal, the way they, what they like to eat and not like to eat. And like if someone tells you, "Oh, some of my Punjabi friends are coming to Delhi. Will you please entertain them?" "Oh yeah, no problem." you'll know exactly how to take care of them. So Devananda Pandit, if he was actually a Rasika Bhakta, if he himself, Devananda Pandit, was a Rasika Bhakta, then he could recognize another Rasik Bhakta. Rasik. So certainly Srivas Thakur is a Parama Rasik Vaishnava. And he proved it by he came to. All the students are sitting there in Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class, and they're doing what disciples do in every guru's class. Right? They're just like us. They're not any different than us. They were sleeping, and the reason they got so disturbed with Srivas Thakur was that he woke them up. Because he's crying loudly, Uchaishwari, Kandite, Kandite. "Ah! Hey! Oh, what happened?" "Oh, I was sleeping so soundly. Hey, get this guy out of here. He's disturbing our sleep." So they threw him out because he was disturbing their sleep. This is my little twist, you can say. But speaker's entitled to his poetic license. Who knows what their motivation or what their idea was. But the point that's being clearly made here by Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Tika is that they were judging by the cover. And if they were actually advanced devotees, they would think, "Oh, he's into it." Like you go to a disco or you go to a dance or something or to the temple and you see some devotee is really dancing. You say, "Oh, he's really into it." And you're just standing there and you're not into it. So they didn't understand the position of Srivas Thakur when he heard this class, or this speak. So this is all being narrated directly to Srivas Thakur by Mahaprabhu. Bahira dujare toma idi lataniya tabe tumi yaila parama paramadukapan. When the Shishya of Devananda left you outside the door, you returned home greatly distressed. Paramadukapan. Paramaduk. Very unhappy. Lord Chaitanya goes on. Dukapahi mani tumi virale vasila. Arabara bhagavata chahite lagila. Feeling unhappy at heart, you sat down in a solitary place and again began to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So Devananda, when he was in Koladweep, he heard that the pandit, great, so-called great pandit Devananda, was speaking Bhagavatam. So it's very sweet and relishable to hear the Bhagavatam from a devotee. Adds an extra sweetness to it, his realizations. So Srivas wanted to take advantage of that mercy flowing from the lips of the speaker. So he went there with interest, enthusiasm, interest, and attention. And then he responded in such a wonderful way to the Premarasa Bhagavat. He started crying loudly and feeling great ecstasy from the recital. And then the students said, this is a disturbance, and they ejected him from the assembly. And the guru was mum, did not respond. So then, not having his appetite fulfilled to hear the Bhagavatam, Devananda went to his home and said, all right, anyway, if I can't, I'm so unfortunate that I can't hear the Bhagavatam from a speaker. I was ejected. Well, at least I can read on my own at home. So I started reading. And he felt very distressed. It doesn't indicate why he felt distressed, but Lord Chaitanya is narrating this event. Dekhiya tamara dukha Sri Vaikuntha haite avirbhava hai lama tamara dehite. Seeing your distress, I left Vaikuntha and appeared in your body. Tabayami eitora ridaye vasya kandailan seyamara prema yoga diya. I sat in your heart. This is Mahaprabhu speaking. He said, I sat in your heart and I made you cry by awarding you loving devotion. So this is the Lord. He never forsakes his devotee. This is what's being told here. The Lord is always attentive to the devotee. Om tad Vishnu paramam param sara pashyanti suryo jujiva chakshur tatam tad vipraso jujivamsa saminate Vishnu yat param param. This verse in Rig Samhita says that chakshuratatam, surya chakshu, the sun is like an eye above our head in the daytime, and the moon is like the eye at night, and we're being watched, we're being seen by the sun, like a great eye over our head. So the acharyas citing this verse, they say that the Lord is the guardian of his devotee. Bhakta Rakshak. He's the Bhakta Rakshak. He's the guardian of his devotee. And as the sun is always shining in a day and illuminating the earth and showing our way here and there, the Supreme Lord is also looking out over his devotees. He's always seeing how are they doing. Is everything all right? What do they require? What do they need? Yoga kshemam maham yaham. He preserves what we have. He carries what we lack. So this verse is often cited that like a guardian's eye, like a great guardian, we say guardian or rakshak, the guardian's eye is always above our head. In fact, so this is what Lord Chaitanya is saying, that I came from Vaikuntha, I saw you reading the Bhagavatam. So this means when someone sits down to read the Bhagavatam, if they have sincerity of purpose and purity of heart, then the Lord Himself is observing our reading. He's taking note. Oh, you're reading the Bhagavatam. That's why the devotee, the sincere devotee, has an experience when he reads the Bhagavatam that someone is speaking to me very particularly. Someone, very specifically, someone is speaking to me in the pages of this Bhagavatam. It's very ironic. It's very almost you can say mystical. I had a particular doubt in my mind. I had a particular lacking within me. And I opened the Bhagavatam, or Gita, or any Shastra, and I started reading, and immediately my problem was addressed in the shloka, in the purport. Immediately. So who is that? This is all being arranged by the divine arranger, the all-pervading Lord. So he's actually adjusting, and fine-tuning the individual spiritual lives of every single devotee. This is his karuna, his anugraha. Krishna is so compassionate. He's taking a personal interest. And this is what can be derived here from this verse, because it has its different levels of understanding. The verse has its own level of understanding, the adidaivic level from the Lord and his nityaparishads and their lila-vichara, an adibhautika level, which is actually the level that what's actually being said, the tattva and philosophical points. And the adhyatmika level is the reader's level. What is the level? What does it mean to me? What is the benefit for me? What is the teaching and instruction for me? I'm not Narada Muni. I'm not Srivas Thakur. And I wasn't there, and it was 500 years ago. So then we have to draw out, what does it mean for us? What is it? What is it for them, and what is it for us? Make it simple. So this, all the verses, they have these three levels of understanding, which is, of course, there's unlimited. But within these three basic levels, this is called the studying the adhyatmik vichar of the verse, and adibhautika vichar and adidaivika vichar. So the Lord is saying here that I sat in your heart and I made you cry by awarding you loving devotion. Amara prema yogadiya. Prema Yog. It's very interesting. It's so nice to see the Bengali. English kind of falls short, as usual, in describing these concepts. Prema Yoga Diya. I entered your heart, and I made an arrangement by which you could connect with the Lord in love. Prema Yoga. It's a very interesting kind of yoga. We never usually hear this term. We hear Ashtanga Yoga, Siddha Yoga, Raja Yoga. I think you're all familiar with these type of terms. But Prema Yoga? We've heard of Prem Yuga. Kali Yuga is a Prem Yuga, inaugurated by Lord Chaitanya, Prem Avatar. Namo Mahavananaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Nandagora Chusei Namo. This is Prem Yoga. So that type of yoga, the Lord will do with everyone. This Prem Yoga means Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya is that aspect of the Lord, Lord's energy, which connects us with Him. When we come to that level of prema. So he's saying, Ananda hoila deha shuni bhagavat, sabatiti stana hoila vari sharamat. Mahaprabhu said, O Shivas, you became ecstatic by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and the entire area around where you were sitting became wet as if by rain. So this is the way to read the Srimad Bhagavatam. That when you start reading the Bhagavatam, it becomes monsoon season. You start crying so much that the whole area becomes wet. When you hear in Puri Lila, in the Tota Gopinath, in the bagicha there, of course, Tota means garden. Gopinath's garden, every afternoon, Gadadhar Pandit would sit there, and Haridas and Gopinath and Sarvam Bhattacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come, and Rupa and Sanatan, whoever was there in Puri at the time, they would come and listen to his Bhagavat Pat. And oftentimes, Gadadhar was, and Lord Chaitanya would ask Gadadhar, please, I want to hear Dhruva Charitra. Please, I want to hear Prahlad Charitra. I want to hear the wonderful glories of Bhakta Prahlad. I want to hear the wonderful glories of Dhruva. Over and over again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard 100 times the story of Dhruva Maharaj. He heard 100 times the story of Prahlad Maharaj. This is the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who later that night at 11 o'clock at night, at 12 o'clock, during Nishant Kala, he would be in Gambira Leela, locked in a tight embrace, and tightly embracing Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda with one arm, both arms, tightly embracing them and saying, read more, Krishna Karanamrita, Gopi Geet, Gita Govinda, same person. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he's hearing Tavakara Kamalavar. He's hearing the Sringa Leela from Gadadhar. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, he's hearing Gita Govinda. Right? Amazing. So, this shows that, and when Gadadhar was speaking the Bhagavatam, he's crying. So much crying. Describing the great determination of Dhruva Maharaj. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was hearing the description of Dhruva Maharaj, he appreciated the determination of the Gopikas. Because Krishna came in the form of Mahaprabhu to understand Radha's love. What is the intensity of the Gopis' love? What is the value of their love? What is the experience that they're experiencing when they serve Krishna? So one of the attributes of Gopi Prem or Braja Gopi Prem is determination. Very determined. They're very determined to please Krishna. Dustijam swajanam aryapatam chahitvam. Buddha is telling in maybe chapter 46 or so, 10th canto. He says, Dustijam swajanam aryapatam chahitvam. He says that they, dustyaji, very simple word. Dusht means difficult, and tyag means to renounce. Dustyajam, swajana. With great determination, the Brajagopis, they renounced that which is impossible to renounce. For even a great sage or great rishi finds it very difficult to renounce his swajanam. His own people, his own mother, his father, relatives. We see in India, if you travel in India, sometimes you'll find ashrams of great yogis. And living in that ashram is the yogi's mother or father. But the gopis, they had swajanam, dusijan swajanam aryapatam chahitvam. Uddhava is glorifying them. They were so determined. Krishna's playing his flute, they're gone. They don't have any consideration. Mother, mother-in-law, father, father-in-law. They're just running. And it's very difficult to give up, as everyone knows, because the heartstrings that tie someone to their relatives are the most powerful strings to cut. Mother to son, father to daughter, wife to husband. Very difficult. But they were so determined. So when Mahaprabhu heard Dhruva Maharaj's story, he said, tell me again and again. Because Dhruva Maharaj was so determined to perform his austerities and get a kingdom bigger than his father, King Uttanapad, isn't it? And the demigods came and they came and said, oh, go home, you're a five-year-old boy. No, be quiet. If you can't tell me, he was so determined for some material purpose. But how determined the gopis were. So when Gadadhar was reading, he was crying. And the pages of the Bhagavatam were becoming all spoiled because he was crying so much. One time, there's one story, I forget, was someone was sent to Gadadhar to hear the Bhagavatam. I can't remember. It was like 500 years ago. Someone was advised, please go hear the Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. So when he came to meet Gadadhar, Gadadhar said, right now, I can't speak because my Bhagavatam is all washed out. It's all washed out. I have to prepare a new Bhagavatam, get another one written, and then I can teach you the Bhagavatam. I heard one story like this. So here we find the same thing with Srivas Thakur. When he would read the Bhagavatam. So now, okay, this is what's happening with Srivas. And he's the Nitya Parishad of the Lord, and having this wonderful experience with Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu is recounting that. Now, when we hear this, how do we respond? We respond individually according to our own viewpoint. But one response is that, will this ever happen to me? Will I ever be so pure? Will I ever be so spiritually advanced that when I read Pade Pade Bhagavat, Prema Rasamoy, when I read one line or two lines, one pada, ek pada, do pada of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that I will cry out loud spontaneously and roll on the ground and fall unconscious, feeling such unbelievable ecstatic experiences? Because we are seeking happiness, joy, but what we call happiness and joy is extremely paltry, extremely insignificant. The thrill, the rapture, the divine ecstatic joy that one will experience at this level of purity of consciousness is inconceivable. We have no framework of reference to understand it other than hearing from Shastra. Because Narada Muni, he is a great devotee, but Narada Muni is Jiva, Jiva Tattva. We are also Jiva. We are Jiva Tattva. So it's not impossible to have the experiences of Srivas Thakur. He's called the Bhakta. Srivas is, there's Pancha Tattvas represent Bhaktavatara, Bhaktakyam, Bhakti Shakti, and the Bhakta. He's a devotee. The Bhakta is a Jiva. We are Jivas, Jiva Tattva. So Srivas is showing, yes, you too. Like they have these teachers, they come and teach different things. Oh, I'm experiencing this. You sign up for my course and I will teach you how to experience. I will make you a master. I'm Reiki master. I will make you a healer, a reconnector. Or I'll make you I can levitate. I will teach you how to levitate. And then you get enthralled and you sign up for the course and then you receive that teaching. I mean, you become the embodiment of that teaching. So this is the ideal bhakta. The story of Narada Muni is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto, chapter 4, 5, 6, like this. 5, 6, I think 6 or some also mentioned something. Chapter 5 and 6. So you can read. So he was a conditioned soul. Got the mercy of the Bhagavats, the devotees. Kripa city. He was in Maya, attached to his mother. You're also attached to your mother. I'm also attached to my mother. We're attached to our mother. Ma Ganga. Mother Ganga. I'm attached to Mother Ganga. Gange, Gange, Gange. That would be good if that was our only attachment. Oh, you're attached to your mother. Yes, I'm attached to Ma Ganga. Ma Ganga to Charanamrita Vishnu. That's very good. It's good to be attached to Vishnu Charanamrita. So we hear this and what do? We say, oh Srivas Thakur, oh Narada Muni, you're the avatar, you're the bhakta avatar, you're traveling all around the world distributing bhakti. Well, what about, don't forget me. So Narada came into this Audarya Leela. Narada came into the Audarya Leela of Mahaprabhu as Srivas Thakur. Say, look, see what's happening to me? Look what's happening to me. I'm reading the Bhagavatam, I'm going into ecstasy. No drugs. No man, no woman, just me and the Bhagavatam. I just went in, I left the assembly of Devananda, I went to my home, I opened Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. I opened the Bhagavatam, I started reading it, and I went into bliss. Magic. The magic way to bliss. Magic formula, bliss formula. Read the Bhagavatam. So, Srivas, I'm not really quite at your level. So can you bless me? I have one prarthana at your lotus feet. Please bless me. That I will someday somehow appreciate one line of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this Prema Rasa, Rasamoya. Lord Chaitanya is saying, Pade Pade Bhagavata Prema Rasamoya. That every line, every single line of every canto, of every chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12 cantos, is full of, saturated with, and drenched in Prema Rasa. Because that's what Maya means. Maya means drenched in, saturated in, super saturated. And I'm reading day after day, and I can't get a drop. I'm squeezing and squeezing my cloth and I can't get a drop of ras out of it. How dry I am. Now Mahaprabhu, he says, you became ecstatic. Now Vrindavan Das Thakur enters into the narration. Ano bhava paya vivala shinivas garagari jaya kande bahekana shwas. Realizing the words of Mahaprabhu, Shrivas became overwhelmed by his narration. He rolled on the ground and cried and sighed deeply. E matta advaitadi yateka vaishnav sabare dekhiya kara yena anubhav. In this way, Mahaprabhu reminded all the Vaishnavas, headed by Advaita, about their previous experiences. Because he wanted to let them have them understand that he was always with them, and he was always the Lord. Although for so many years they thought he was simply a Sanskrit student in Gangadas's toll, and for so many years they thought he was the child genius, the teenage scholar, the Digvijaya, that soon to be Digvijaya of Navadvip, Nimai Pandit, the proud arrogant scholar who turned the humble Vaishnav, full of Seva Bhav, when he took Diksha from Ishwara Puri and Gaya. They thought he was a Brahmin. He's in our community. He's the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement. Now, after this experience of this Mahaprakash, then they understand, oh, he is our Lord. Ananda Sagare Magna Sava Bhaktagan Vasiya Karina Prabhu Tambula Bhojan. All the devotees merged in an ocean of bliss as the Lord sat down and ate betel nuts. So everyone thinks, oh, that sounds good. The Lord is eating betel nuts. Betel nuts means tambul. Tambul means sopari. Sopari?
Pan.
Yeah, pan. Pan is sopari, I think, is inside. It's pan. That red stuff, red nut they chop up in little flakes. That's the betel nut. It's called a nut, but it's not like cashews. It grows on a palm, like it looks like a palm tree. They have it in Mayapur, they offer to the deities. So, of course, now we don't want to do anusaran, we don't want to do anukaran here, imitation. This particular time, the Lord is sitting on the singhasan of the Lord. In Shivas's house, he has deities of Lakshmi Narayan. Lord Chaitanya has gone up there and sat there, and he's showing that I am Lakshmi Narayan. I am the Dasavatar. I am Bhagavan. So now he's not acting as the Bhakta. In the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur, in Navadvip, before he went off to Puri and Sannyas Leela, in these pastimes, he's exhibiting sometimes the mood and activities of Bhagavan, and sometimes the mood and activities of the bhakta, the devotee of Bhagavan, das, das, and adas. So we have to be careful we don't get confused and say, oh, look, because we know later that the Lord, he asked his followers not to eat betel nut. If on seeing the Lord's acceptance of intoxicants like betel nut, which means pan, during his abhishek, befitting the King of Kings, one tries to imitate the Lord, then his life will become most inauspicious. The Mahajans say that the proper etiquette is to touch the remnants of betel nuts to one's head and then distribute it. Oftentimes when you go to Vrindavan or some temple, the pujari will give you some pan from Radharaman's pan prasad. And someone will say, oh, we are supposed to honor Thakurji's prasad. Jai ho. Hoi wo. Bariya pan. Bolo radhe 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 barsana wali radhe. Radhe radhe radhe. Radha Kundame, Radhe Radhe, Seva Kundame, Radhe Radhe, Nidhi Baname, Radhe Radhe.
Radharavan ki jai, jai Shri Radhe.
If you lived 2,000 years ago, the popular phrase on everyone's tongue was, all roads lead to Rome. This is a popular phrase because Caesar ruled the world and the headquarters for his world was Rome. Rome is a city in Italy. But if you're a Gaudiya Vaishnava, then what's on our tongue is all roads lead to Radha. Not Rome. Same thing. R for Rome, R for Radha. Our taxi driver stopped at Hari Om Dava for his breakfast this morning, coming from Radhakund. And this tape while I was playing, Bolo Radhe, 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 Barsani, Wali Radhe, Radhakund me, Radhe, Radhe. I thought you never can escape. Wherever you go, your fortune goes with you. This is the phrase. If you're rich and you go anywhere, you'll be rich. If you're a millionaire and you go to Europe, you'll live like a millionaire. If you're a millionaire in India and you go to France, you won't live like a pauper. Your fortune goes with you, or misfortune. In other words, you can't run away from your problems. If you're unhappy here and you think, oh, I'll go to Singapore and I'll become happy, or Malaysia. No, you won't. You'll go to Malaysia and become miserable. M for Malaysia, M for miserable. So happiness is within. This is something that's created, comes within, it's a fortune that you can attain by sadhusanga and sadhana. So, the devotees emerged in bliss, and if we do get this pan prasad given to us, then we are advised here by our mahajans that the Vaishnava etiquette, the Vaishnava achar, because we are not allowed to eat this when we take diksha, because it's a very mild form of intoxication, like whiskey or cigarettes, chocolate bars. Chocolate bars are full of caffeine. People eat it, but Prabhupada said we shouldn't. That's some debate. If you like chocolate, you'll say Prabhupada said we should eat it. If you don't like chocolate, you'll say Prabhupada said we shouldn't. That's what I understand. Because usually whatever you like, you try to justify somehow or other. But at least if anyone does research and finds the very first edition of the ever-printed Hare Krishna cookbook, which was printed by the BBT in 1972 or 1 in Los Angeles, and there was no BBT in India, there was nothing in India. The first cookbook that was presented to Prabhupada with his own very own recipes in it. In the introduction, Kirtananda Swami, who was given the nickname by Srila Prabhupada, Kitchen Swami, and he was taught personally by Srila Prabhupada to cook in New York in Second Avenue in 1966. He wrote that Srila Prabhupada said that the members of the Krishna consciousness do not eat coffee, tea, chocolate. That was the official Hare Krishna cookbook and the only Hare Krishna cookbook. So when we joined ISKCON, there was no chocolate. But now it's a rage. And I know you can even say, oh Maharaj, in this Govinda's restaurant, in that place, in this place. Okay. But you have to see. The first question is, does Radharani offer chocolate bars to Krishna? Yes? No. Did you hear what I said? Does Srimati Radhika offer chocolate bars, quote unquote Cadburys, to Krishna? Yes or no?
No.
Acha. So a true Vaishnava who wants love of God, he will only eat food which is Krishna Prasad, which means Krishna ate it. Mahaprasad. So that you can think about. Some devotees, they offer the chocolate candy bar to the Lord and they eat it.
This is Shraddha.
Okay, but the question is, did he accept it?
Not quite as good.
how far is everything is good. Chocolate is also good. It's created by God. The cocoa bean is created by God. God created the cocoa bean. So dare I say that the cocoa bean is bad? A thunderbolt will strike my head. The cocoa bean is part of God's creation. And it has its usages. Betel and pan is part of God's creation. So is hops and whiskey and everything. So everything is good. God is good. It's all good. Have a good time. But there's something called yama, niyama, and restrictions and do's and don'ts. So there's something called sadhana vyas. And so you have to find out. There's different marg. You can travel bhukti marg, mukti marg, or bhakti marg. Mukti marg, the path of liberation, or bhog marg, or bhukti, or bhukti means bhog marg, or bhakti. So if you travel bhakti marg, then there's certain signposts there. There's certain sign markers and certain indications. And you need a guide, and you need a map, need a navigator. So they will give you some guidelines. This is text 104. Kaun bhakta nache keha kare sankirtan keha bale jaya jaya sri sachinandan. Some devotees dance bhakta nache and some devotees engage in congregational chanting kare sankirtan. Other devotees chanted jaya jaya sri sachinandan. So it really, from this description by Vrindavan Das Thakur, Madhyakanda, in Srivas Thakur's house during this 21 hours of ecstatic manifestation of Mahaprabhu, after Lord Chaitanya glorified the previous lives and activities of different devotees such as Srivas and Advaita, and they all responded with great jubilation, each in their own individual way. There's nothing it wasn't a stereotyped, robotic performance or robotic response. Devotion is individual. We are all individuals, and we have our individual perception of God, of Guru, of grace, and this world, and ourselves also. And it's not that, what are you doing? Oh, I guess I should do what you're doing. Or what are you thinking? Oh, I guess I should think what you think. Or what do you feel? Oh, I guess I should feel. Oh, what do you feel? Oh, I guess I should feel what you feel. Tigne. This is not the realm of bhakti. Bhakti is an infinite kaleidoscope of possibilities. Bhakti is a kaleidoscope of infinite possibilities. You know what a kaleidoscope is? It's a little, like kid's toy. There's a little tube, and inside this tube there's all little pieces of plastic. And you look through it, and there's a clear thing, and you twist it like this, and all the plastic falls like this and makes all different colors, keeps changing patterns and colors. You ever had to, look through? Oh, da-da-da-da. So bhakti is like this. It's a kaleidoscope of infinite possibilities. And each devotee is one of those possibilities, potential. Everyone has their own rasa. Everyone has their own individual relationship with the Lord. It's unique. It's special. It's yours. No one can take it from you. No one can steal it from you. And this verse is indicating this beauty of bhakti, the multi-dimensional aspect of pure devotion. Because when we get into devotion, we're getting to the highest level of consciousness. There's no higher level of consciousness than bhakti. And here it says, some devotee, bhakta nache, some devotees just responded to this great lila of the Lord by just dancing. They were dancing. And other devotees were engaged in nam sankirtan. It says they were engaged in kare sankirtan. And other devotees were just a few other devotees were just saying jai sachinandan, jai sachinandan, jai sachinandan. Now you can imagine if you went in a temple someday and 10 or 15 devotees are in one corner, jai Gaura Hari, jai Gaura Hari. And then Mohan Rupa has about 60 devotees on another side of the temple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he's off on his own ragas and melodies with the kirtan. Right? And then in the back somewhere, all about 10 devotees are in front of Prabhupada Vyasa-san. They're not chanting. It's just a bhaktanache. They're not chanting. They're just like a wedding party. You know. Because there's three different categories mentioned here. One was chanting in a sankirtan party, which means one leader and one follower. This is called sankirtan. And the others, there was an improvisational group. There was they were not too original. Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan. Then others, I don't feel like chanting Jai Sachinandan, and I don't feel like going in a sankirtan party, but I do feel like dancing. So this is individuality, freedom. Love is the greatest platform of freedom. This is the fact. As soon as there's law, as soon as there's restriction, there is no love. They say that in love there are no rules. And in rules there is no love. Interesting play on words. Is there any rules in the love game of Radha and Krishna? Is there any guarantee when they will meet, or where they will meet, or how they will meet? Is there any guarantee what kind of mood Radhika will be in when Krishna meets her? Is there any guarantee in what kind of mood Krishna will be in when Radha meets her? No. But when you're married and everything's going by rule and everything's very patent, and the lunch is at this time and the dinner's at that time and the TV time and the arguing time and the give me money time and the go shopping time and the spending time and the kiddie time and the schoolie time and the japa time. Everything is very just one by one. And it's very mechanical and so-called love, but it's just duty. Oh, this Bhagavad, this Chaitanya Bhagavad, Chaitanya is glorifying the Bhagavatam and saying that Pade Pade Bhagavat Prema Rasamoy. Well, this is Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's written by the same person. The author of Vedavyas, Vrindavanas Thakur, is Vedavyas. He has a twin identity, dual identity, two forms. One form in Gaur Lila, Vrindavanas Thakur, and one form in Krishna or Vishnu Lila, Veda Vyas. He's here now. He's a Chiranjeev. He's in Himalayas. The Vishnu Vyasadev, Ashutamuni, Bali, Kripacharya, Parasaram, they're all living in Himalayas. Chiranjeevs, Markandeya Rishi. So, if something true to one thing, then it's true to another. So Lord Chaitanya is saying that the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Puran, this is Pade Pade Rasamoy, Prema Rasamoy. That means then that the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that's the Srimad Bhagavat. That means the Chaitanya Bhagavat is also Pade Pade. Line by line is saturated with Prema Ras. So, and this is accessible. This is much more accessible. This Chaitanya Bhagavat is Prema Ras packaged Prema Ras, accessible. You can download it. it's more easy to access this flow of Prema Ras. You only need an Adobe Reader. Now you can easily access this, but the Srimad Bhagavatam is a little more esoteric to access that Prema Ras. That's why they go together. We study Chaitanya Bhagavat and we get this mercy. This is called Audharya. This is Audharya Shastra. This is Prema Ras made easy or more accessible. And Srimad Bhagavatam is Prema Ras, but that's Madhurya Prema Ras. And this is Audharya Prema Ras. Madhurya Prema Ras, this is also Madhurya. It's very sweet and very relishable. But it's accessible because Lord Chaitanya is saying, Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's giving it to us. He's throwing it at us. And Lord Krishna is saying, you want the Prema Ras, you want the Madhurya Prema Ras of Bhagavatam? Then there's some adhikar. There's some qualification. There's some demand. Sarva dharman pritya cha mam ekam sharanam braja. You have to surrender unequivocally and absolutely. Bhagavatam, it begins on the plane of Sharanagati. But to come to the plane of this Sharanagati, we have to travel the land of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat is so valuable and so important. So this is Kadachit ye bhaktana takke se stane agyakari prabhutari anana apane. If by chance a particular devotee was not there, or he was absent at Shivas Thakur's house, then Prabhu, which means Mahaprabhu, he personally ordered that devotee should be brought there. So this is the mood of the Lord, as I mentioned earlier about Om Tad Vishnu Param Param Sada. The Lord, like the sun is shining in everyone's head, so the Lord is like a guardian's eye above everyone's head. Every devotee should think, my Lord is my Bhakta Rakshak, he's my protector. His eye is above my head, like a great sun in the sky, watching over me, guiding me, protecting me. And once we heard a class where someone was citing this verse saying that if a devotee wants to be successful, if a devotee wants to be successful in all his undertakings, before he begins an undertaking, he should think. Undertaking means any activity or any duty he has to perform, some duty or activity. He should think, where my Lord is watching me. My guardian, my protector, my guardian, my well-wisher, my supreme guardian well-wisher is looking over me. He's watching me from the sky like the sun. You go outside your house and the sun will see you wherever you are. You can see the sun can see you. So wherever you move in this world, the Lord can see you. And maybe we can't see Him, but the Lord is seeing us. He is observing us. And the first point we think, yes, the Lord's eye is above my head. And the second point the devotee considers is that, who is this person that I'm about to deal with? Who is this person that I'm about to interact with or exchange with? Who is that person in relation to my guardian? That's the second point. And then the third point is, what is my relationship? What is my relationship with this person that I'm interacting with or dealing with? Or associating with? What is my relationship, and what is my duty towards this person in relationship in regards also considering the guardian? In other words, someone might say, "Oh, that I, the Lord's eye is above me. My guardian is there. I am the husband. This is my wife. So I am the Lord's devotee, and I'm representing. And so this is my wife. What do I represent here? I represent her protector, or I represent her mentor. I'm supposed to be guru pati, pati guru, teacher. This term is there. So is this my wife is simply someone to be enjoyed or someone to be exploited? No, this means I'm forgetting the guardian and I'm forgetting my actual identity in this relationship here. So this is, if one is thinking of these things at all times, that who am I? Who am I? I'm Krishna's devotee. And my guardian is always watching me. And so how can I represent the interest of my guardian best in this situation? What is my role here? What is my duty here? And if we're remembering that, then it's very difficult to be in Maya. Because if we're remembering that, means we're not forgetting the Lord. So satatam smaratam Vishnu. We should always remember Vishnu, guardian's eye. So the Lord, He's seeing. Oh, I'm remembering different devotees. Oh, I see this devotee isn't here. Oh, please go bring this devotee. Once Prabhupada was giving a lecture in San Francisco. No, it was a room conversation, and almost all the devotees were there. And Prabhupada was speaking and looking around, and then he said, "Where's Jayananda? Jayananda Das, one of his devotees there that had joined in San Francisco, and one of the very dedicated devotees, Jayananda." And Prabhupada, and they said, "Prabhupada, I think he's off somewhere. He's fixing a car or something, fixing the temple car, doing some service. He said, "Oh." And then he walked in, just a minute later he walked in the room in the conversation with and joined the other devotees. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, Jayananda has come." And everybody said, "Jai," like this, or Hare Krishna. Then Prabhupada said, "Oh, look, Jayananda looks just like Lord Chaitanya." And everyone in Jai and Eklatra. Because he was tall, he was about two meters plus tall, and a very large figure, very strong and healthy and effulgent. I had opportunity to meet him and serve with him in San Francisco and also in Los Angeles. So I have some personal experience. So Prabhupada was like Lord Chaitanya. He was also aware of all of his disciples and wondering where they are and how they are. So Lord Chaitanya is calling for this devotee to come. Kichu deha kahi bali patena shihasta jay jahadena taha kyayena samasta. The Lord extended his palm and he said, "Give me something to eat." Then he ate whatever they gave. Kaya bhalena prabhu tora mane ache amoka nashaya ami vasitora kache. After eating, Mahaprabhu said, oh, now he's speaking about Srivas. This is a narration where the Lord wasn't there directly during these episodes, but he's speaking to Srivas Thakur because he was actually there. And Srivas is listening again to another episode. Srivas, do you remember the night when I was sitting by your side? Vaidya rupe tora jwara kari lamanash shunya vivalahai pare seidhas. In the form of a doctor, I cured your fever. On hearing this, the servant became overwhelmed and fell to the ground. Oh no, this was just some servant. It doesn't say who it was. So here, it was just some devotee, wasn't Srivas. Lord Chaitanya called and said, You, do you remember when you had jwara, when you had a high fever? And then some doctor came from a village and then he gave some medicine, a vaidya came, and you became cured? I was that doctor. Now you can imagine, at this point in your life, you've never even met Lord Chaitanya. You haven't, because this person never met him, he met him later. Imagine if someone, say you had chicken pox when you were 7 years old. Now when you're 50 years old, someone comes up to you and say, "Remember when you were 7 you had chicken pox in such and such village? And then one doctor came and cured you?" That was me. What would you do? He wasn't the doctor. He said, "Wait a minute, the doctor was somebody else. What's your name?" "Oh, my name is Chaitanya." No, that was Dr. Gupta. So actually, it was the Lord. So this is very interesting. Ganga dasi deki bale, tora mane jage, raja bhaye palais, jabe nisha bhage. Mahaprabhu turned to Ganga Das and he said, "Do you remember how one night you were running away in fear of the Muslim king? Sarvapari varasane asi ke agat. Kota o nahika noka padila shankate." You came to the boat god at the Ganga with your entire family, sarva parivar. But you became extremely fearful because you couldn't find any boat. Kota means where? Kota o nahika. Nahika noka, same as Hindi. You came to, you ran from the Muslim king who was coming to destroy your family or burn your house. And you're running away to protect your family. And you went to the Ganges, you wanted to cross the Ganga by boat, and there was no boat. Ratri shesha haila tumi noka na paya kandite lagilati dukita haya. When you could not get a boat throughout the entire night, you became very distressed and began to cry. Morage yavane sparshibe parivar Ganga pravishite mana Haila Tamar. Fearing that the Yavanas would mistreat your family, you resolved to drown yourself in the Ganga. Tabayami nokaniya kiyari rupe gangaya vahiyavaya tamara samipe. At that time I crossed the Ganga and came before you as a boatman with the boat. Tabe tumi nokadeki santosha haila atishaya pritakari kahite lagila. You were very happy to see the boat and you began to speak to me with great affection. So Lord Chaitanya is recounting point by point of this episode. He stayed out through the whole night. He was waiting hours after hours. He's thinking, any minute the Yavanas will come and they'll find us here. They'll go to our house and find our house is empty. Then they'll search for us here by the Ganga. And then they'll defile my family and kill me or whatever. And then at the very end of the night, Mahaprabhu came as a boatman. And then he starts recounting not only the episode, but then he starts telling this Gangadas, he starts telling the exact conversation that he had. And this was years and years ago. This is what you said to me, the boatman. Are bhai, amare rakaha ibhar, jati pran dandeya sakala tumar. Oh brother, please save me this one time. My caste, my life, my wealth, my and body, they all belong to you. Rakshakara, parikara, sangekara par, eka tanka, eka jhoda, bakashisha tamar. Protect me, take me and my family across the Ganga. I will pay you the one coin and give you two coins as a donation. Tabe tama sange pari, kara kari par, tabani javaikunte ge lama arabar. Thereafter I took you and your family across the Ganga and then I returned to Vaikuntha. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing as Vishnu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And Krishna is Purnatam. Purnatam Bhagavan. He's the complete form of Bhagavan. Sarva Avatari. All the avatars are within him. He himself, Krishna, in Vrindavan, he is always engaged in Leela. So if any demon comes, Putana, Bakasura, etc., then one of those avatars, Vishnu avatars within Krishna, will come out and vanquish that demon. So anything to do with demons or defending devotees, this is all done by Vishnu. The chakra is coming. But Krishna, he's playing flute. He's just Muralidhar. He's always playing flute. And so he doesn't have any chakra in his back pocket. But Vishnu has chakra. Vishnu has a chakra in his back pocket. So when necessary, he flings the chakra at Shishupal and shaves off his head. So here, that's why the Lord's saying, I went back to Vaikuntha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a Vaikuntha, other than you can say Gaura Narayan is there. There's one form, Gaura Narayan. But he says, I delivered you. So this deliverance, he delivered Gangadas and his family by taking them across the Ganga. He came there as the boatman. That boatman incarnation was an incarnation of Vishnu. And after doing that work of delivering him and freeing him from that attack of the Yavanas, then he returned to Vaikuntha. Shunya murchita ganga dhasa gadijai, he matta kahi prabhu ati amayai. After hearing this, Gangadas fell unconscious to the ground. In this way, the Lord honestly narrated the activities of his devotees. So, then it goes on. Vasya chena vaikuntera adivas adishwar chandana malaya paripurna kalevar. The Lord of Vaikuntha sat down. His body was covered with sandalwood paste and flower garlands. This is Lord Chaitanya. Kon priyatamakari shriyange vyanjan shri kesha samskara kareyati priyatam. One of Mahaprabhu's dear devotees fanned the Lord while another dear devotee combed his hair. Sri Angi Vyanjana, Sri Kesha Samskara, Ati Priyatam, Priyatam, a very dear devotee. So they're rendering personal service to the Lord because the Lord is there, four-dimensional transcendental reality. He's not a murti, he's not brass or ashtadhatu or Daru, Brahman, Jagannath. But he's there on the Singhasan. Like we go, we do puja. Vajaris do puja. And the Lord has what we call a wig. But he has hair, and they brush the hair, and they prepare it. They brush his hair, and then they massage his body, the Murti, Archamurti, deity. And they do all this seva to the Murti in preparation of doing personal service. It's not that forever and ever, for time immemorial, a pujari will be serving a Murti. Just like we see when one goes to medical school, they usually have to do some surgery on dead bodies to practice. But it's not forever and ever you'll do surgery on dead bodies. Someday you'll graduate from medical school with a degree, and then you'll do surgery on living bodies. And then they see, feel, and talk. And after the surgery, if you leave a sponge inside of that living person, they will sue you for $1 million. They're very much alive. But if you leave a sponge inside a dead cadaver in the medical school, they won't sue you in the law court. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Sakshat Murti. He's direct Murti. He's sitting in the Singhasan. Right behind him are the Murtis. He's sitting there. He's sitting on the Singhasan. And one episode, he took all the Shalagram Shilas. There's so many Shalagram Shilas, these rocks that are Krishna forms or Vishnu's avatar. Shalagram from Gandaki River, these black rock stones, deity, Krishna, Sakshat Krishna. So he picked up all the Shilas and put them on his lap. 20, 30 Shilas, he just put them here. He said, I am Vishnu, I am the Shringa, I am Bhavan. I am Varaha. Because these are the different avatars. These Shilas, they have these symbols and designs and appearance of these different avatars. They look like Kurma, or they look like Matsya. They have like gills, and they have snout and all these things. You can see. Gopal Krishna Maharaj has some. He had not so many distinct, but he has some very unique Shilas he has. And they're very unique and special features. So Lord Chaitanya is doing that. He's sitting there, and he's a living Murti. Sometimes he's speaking and narrating with them and telling, oh, I did this because Vishnu, because there's five forms of the Lord. There's the Paramatma form, right? First there's the Archamurti, then there's the Paramatma, and then there's the Vaibhav. The Vaibhav is the Nishing avatar, and all these Leela avatar, these Das avatars called Vaibhav avatar. And then there's the Para avatar. Para avatar is Chaturvyuha. And then there's the Adi, the original form of the Lord, Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. There's Swayam Bhagavan, then there's Chaturvyuha, then there's Vaibhav, then there's Paramatma, then there's the Archamurti. These are five manifestations of Bhagavatva, and Bhagavan. So, whether it's the Super Soul or whether it's the Murti, so here Lord Chaitanya is sitting there. And sometimes he's acting like the Murti. So they go up and brush his hair, just like we do with the Murti. We brush it, we comb the Murti's hair. So that's what's being described here. So someday when we get our Siddhadeha, when we become perfect in Krishna consciousness, attain Krishna Prema, we'll get Siddhadeha. Siddha Sharir means Sarup Siddhi, means pure spiritual body, Sachidananda Vigraha. And then we may go to Vaikuntha to serve the Lord there, if that is our destiny, if that is our Stahibhav, our eternal Stahibhav, our eternal devotional mood and mellow towards the Lord. Our prema will take us to Vaikuntha prema. But if we have Braja Prema, then we will go to Vrindavan and Siddhadeha and serve the Lord in Dasyabhav or Sakyabhav or Vatsalya or Madhura, Madhuryabhav. And we'll have a form, and Krishna will be there. And when you comb his hair, he'll say, ouch! But when you're combing the Murti's hair, unless you're really advanced, you don't know whether the Lord is saying ouch or not. And then when you're doing that service, when you're brushing Radharani's hair, then you can see from the acharyas, like Vishnu Raghunath Das Goswami, who is Rati Mandri or Tulsi Mandri, Bharamati Mandri. Three different, one person, three different names. Rati Mandri, Tulsi Mandri, and Bharamati Mandri. It's all one person, Raghunath Das. Just like you have names. You have a name, Mr. Gupta, and then your wife calls you Honey Pie. and your brother calls you Boo Boo or something, all these kind of names, you know, so many names you have. And when you go to the office, they say, Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, you're Sir, you're Honey Pie, you're Mr. Gupta, this, that, or Dr. Gupta. So Manjris also have. So when Rati Manjri is combing Radharani's hair, she's praying. She says, Radharani, when I am combing your hair, I will consider one strand of your hair to be more valuable to me than millions and millions of my lives. One strand means a piece, one string, like a string. It's called a strand. You know, one hair is called a strand. It's English. You don't say string of hair. So many pieces are there. But so one strand, one piece of your hair is so. In other words, what he's saying is, I'll be so careful and so attentive in my service that I won't cause you the slightest bit of discomfort or pain. So that's live time. At that juncture in spiritual evolution and perfection, the time of perfection in the spiritual world, at that time, if you're combing Radharani's hair or doing some intimate seva like that, and you pull the hair, ow! Radharani's, oh. If you ever comb someone's hair, or your mother combs her hair when you're a little kid or something, ow! Because we have response, we have feelings and responses. So here the Lord is accepting the service from the devotees. And this is going on. So is there any questions? The question, devotees asking a question, our acharyas are telling us that each devotee has, the Lord has expanded all of the living entities, and we're all his parts and parcels, and we're all his servants, and he wants us to serve in a particular way. Just like if a king hires 100 people to work in his kingdom or in his palace, each one will have their designated. They all have. First of all, he collects 100 people and says, "You 100 people, I want you in my palace. You will work for me." So now everyone, all those 100 people have a relationship with the king. They are connected with the king. Then he will designate each one. You cook, you clean, you wash, you this, that, you guard. They all have their specific service given by the king. So they have a relationship with the king and a specific service and a place and a position in the palace. So the palace is the whole creation, eternal creation. And every jiva is related, has a relationship with God. And how he wants us to please him and serve him, that potential he is imbued within every jiva. So the question is, when will one realize his potential, specific potential for pleasing and serving the Lord as per the Lord's direction? That's why the definition of pure bhakti is anukulyena, anukulya, Krishna anukulya. Krishna anukulya means what is favorable to Krishna, not what is favorable to me. We usually, our definition of bhakti is Chaitanya Das Anukulya, Swamiji Anukulya. Whatever is favorable to Swamiji, that is my bhakti. But in the spiritual world, it's called subjective reality. Krishna is the supreme subject, and we are all the object of his vision. But in this material world, we are the subject, and everyone is an object of our vision. So this is material subjectivity. But absolute or spiritual subjectivity is that God is the subject, and we are the object of his gaze, and we are to do what he wants, and we are meant to act for his pleasure. And it is his world, not our world, do what we want for our pleasure. That's why it says it's a perversion. It's the opposite. What is up there is down here. What is right side up there is upside down here. There it's correct, here it's viparita. Viparita means upside down. So the answer, when one will realize that begins to happen at the level of Ruchi, at the level of Ruchi, we have Ado, Shada, Tata, Sara, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, Anartha, Nivritti, Tata. Anartha, Nivritti, then Nishta. Then after Nishta comes Ruchi. When one gets Ruchi, Nam Ruchi, Harikata Ruchi, Seva Ruchi, Sarasanga Ruchi, Dham Ruchi. Ruchi starts to come in a particular flavor. And that is some indication of his Tahibhav. And then as one comes higher, it comes into Asakti, attachment. If he becomes attached to the Lord in a particular mood, and a particular form of the Lord, and a particular relationship with the Lord. Although it's not clear, really, what his own Tahibhav is. Then one rises to the level of bhav. And that level of bhav, there's different levels of bhav. Then gradually, at the level of bhav, this sarup shakti manifests in the heart and reveals our individual identity. That can be given in many different ways, how that sarup shakti will descend into the heart. Directly from a Nityaparishad, through the mercy of Bhakti Devi, through the mercy of Nam, or through Guru directly. Guru can give diksha or initiation that way. Connect one with the Surup Shakti and everything will become clear. So it's a byproduct of advancement and a byproduct of purification of consciousness. And ultimately it depends on mercy. Sadhana Siddha and Kripa Siddha. But it's all Kripa Siddha. We can't do sadhana without sadhus. And we can't attain perfection without mercy. So everywhere mercy is there. But Kripa Siddhi, sometimes we say sadhana siddhi, but even sadhana siddhi, sadhana is not enough to get perfection. You do sadhana to get the mercy. And when you get the mercy, if you get, when you get, how you get, then you get perfection. But Kripa Siddhi is a type of perfection which is extremely rare, where you don't do anything, you just get it. So generally, 99.9 or 100% of the time, it's all sadhana. We attain perfection by sadhana, but that itself is Kripa Siddhi. If you don't do any sadhana, and don't do anything, and just eat pan all day, and chocolate bars and pan, then good luck. Because theoretically, you could get perfection, because Kripa Siddhi means you didn't do anything to get it. It's causeless. And even sadhana siddha is also causeless. You didn't do anything to get it. All you did is chant and follow the guru. But somehow, your sincere efforts to follow guru, shastra, and sadhu, to mold your life according to their shiksha and directions, your sincere efforts and endeavor attracted the heart of the merciful Lord. Anugraha. His mercy, anukampam, anukampam. And that mercy will come down through the holy name. The holy name is Krishna. The sadhu is Krishna. Bhakti Devi is Radharani's expansion. So in these ways, we will attain perfection. By the will of the Lord, if we're fortunate, we can again meet tomorrow to discuss the sacred teachings of Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai, Vrindavan Das Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.